Representative Peter Welch, one of the smartest men I know in the House of Representatives, the Congressman-at-Large from Vermont, always fun to talk to. The last time we were talking about the committee structure, and there's a proposal, Peter Welch, on the floor that the Republicans, now that they're basically out of office and that the blue wave has hit the beaches, are now talking about letting the committee members elect their chairs. Is that a good idea?
You know, I'm mixed on that. In fact, the chairs can be elected by the whole caucus. So what I do want is for committee chairs to be much more powerful and for the committees themselves to be much more powerful. And what we've had in the Democratic side, and I frankly think the Republicans have been better on this, is largely a seniority-based system. And in fact, there's some reasons for seniority. It diminishes strife. But in fact, I think there's got to be more flexibility so that the caucus has the opportunity to elect the best person for the job at the time the job has to be filled. So I think we've got to take some steps to have merit and opportunity be part of it, not just seniority. But whether the committee, just the committee should elect versus the broader caucus, I think, frankly, having the broader caucus be able to weigh in, probably a better way to do it. If it's just the committee, it may be too narrow a spectrum of the members of the caucus.
It's a fascinating idea. Right, I think one has to be careful what one wants. I live in the First District of Massachusetts. Richie Neal will, under the present system, undoubtedly be the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, pretty powerful. Next door, in the second district, you have McGovern, who will be chairman of the Rules Committee. That's a lot
that's
of power
right.
for one end of little old Massachusetts.
Well, it is. And those two happen to be among the two favorite members of mine. And I served on the Rules Committee with Jim McGovern when I first went to Congress. And he has been extremely accommodating to the concerns that many of us have expressed about opening up the process. And he's put together a package of rule changes that basically incorporates many of the things we've been advocating. So I think Jim McGovern will be a breath of fresh air on the Rules Committee. And he is really very much open to allowing amendments, including from the Republicans. So I think that's good. And Richie Neal is one of the smartest people I know in Congress.
Me too.
Yeah. I grew up in Springfield, Mass. And he was my mayor. So I think he'll be excellent.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so let's go to another place. Let's go to the Mueller investigation. More and more it's looking to me, I'm so sorry, I'm actually losing sleep over this one. It's looking like the appointment of Whitaker as the acting attorney general shows what I've been concerned about all along, Peter Welch, and that is that, you know, they're going to try to jettison the Mueller investigation or clamp down on it. What are your feelings?
Well, my feelings are that there's no question that that's what Trump wants to do. He says that. He calls it a witch hunt. He disparages it, and he wants to get rid of it. There's no question about that. The question, and that's why I'm a co-sponsor of legislation in the House that we also have in the Senate that would protect the independence of the Mueller investigation. And it's critical that we do that. And that legislation would prohibit Mueller from being fired except for cause, and it would have to be approved by an independent judge. So I think that legislation is very important. My hope is that we may be able to get that to be part of the final legislation on the continuing resolution on the budget when we return in December. But your concern is our concern. Is Trump going to try to derail the Mueller investigation? I don't think there's a question that he'd like to. There's a question of whether there's enough opposition out there that he continues to not pull that trigger because of fear of the repercussions. And I think there would be real repercussions if he visibly compromised the Mueller investigation.
McConnell will never agree to any of that, will he? I mean, he's just been intransigent about protecting Mueller.
Well, he has been, and he won't put that bill on the floor. And he's getting some opposition from people like Lindsey Graham, and I think even Senator Grassley So will the pressure mount on the Republican side in the Senate? And as you point out, that's where it would have to come from. We would get that with the Democratic majority. I think we could pass the Mueller independence sure. bill to protect them. But we'd have to get some Republican senators to go along with us. But there is pressure on him. I mean, Senator McConnell's got to think about what it would mean if he allowed or condoned the president actually taking that step to have a slow-rolling Saturday night massacre. I mean, that's of constitutional proportions. And that's, I think, why you're seeing some movement over there with people who support Trump, people like Grassley and people like Graham. But we've got to keep the pressure on to maintain independence for Mueller. That's really critical.
It appears now that the 2017 GOP tax overhaul has not helped the Republican Party the way they thought that it would. So when you get back, you know, into control, will you do things like reinstate the deductibility of state and local taxes if you can?
Well, as you know, I voted against that tax bill and think it was terrible. And it, among other things, it took away a middle class provision that did help in the places like New York and Vermont, the deductibility of our state and local income taxes. And in effect, it raises our taxes here. So I think that whole bill was bad. And whether we would be able to restore that SALT deduction, I don't know if we have the votes to do that, but it's something I would favor. But I think that we're going to have trouble on the tax side because you've got, I think, a House that with a Democratic majority would definitely be in favor of making significant adjustments. But we'd have a tough time with the Senate as it's with the Republican Senate and I think with the president. So we'll have to see how that goes.
I know one of the things that you've been very concerned about is the SNAP program in the Farm Bill. And I'm wondering whether or not we're making any progress here.
Everything I hear is we are making progress. And by making progress, we seem to be moving towards the Senate bill, which maintain the nutrition programs that are really, really essential. You know, the stock market's having a hard time these last couple of days, but corporate profits have been at record levels in the stock market until recently was at a record level. But childhood poverty has increased. Now, how is that? And even though childhood poverty has increased, Paul Ryan was insistent in the House Farm Bill that we cut like $25 billion out of the nutrition programs. And he made a big deal claiming that it's all able-bodied people, but in effect, 83% of the people in the food stamp program are children and disabled people, many of whom are veterans. And the average length of stay on a food stamp program is like 14 months. So this is a modest benefit, but it reflects that even in this time of economic upswing, childhood poverty is up. So it baffles me why Ryan made this such a priority of his. But it looks like the negotiations between House and Senate were heading towards the Senate version of it, where the food stamp program is preserved.
It's always wonderful to talk to our friend Peter Welch, one of the smartest guys I know in the United States Congress. Peter, thank you so much for being with us. You come back the next time. Let's talk a little about immigration to begin.
Good. Thank you.